We're going from ordering the regular crispy bucket to extra crispy. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Oh, God. I think the next 2 days you're going to hear me doing the show.
It's good to be here today. Jesus. Oh, my God.
It's going to be cold, but hey, we should be used to it. I mean, I'm going to be dead honest. We used to have this stuff a lot more often. Matt Hunter here today. It is going to be a bit brisk out there. I don't know if you've seen the memes, though, as there was a lot of the metro area had 2 hours late start or else were closed today because of the snow showers. And of course, there's all these pictures I saw from like the 1940s and 50s of snowbanks above the house and the kids there waiting for the school bus. You know what else you had back then? An average lifespan of 64. Right? Yeah. You had people dying of heart disease at 35. That's what you had. You had basically, if you're a woman working for a job and your boss wanted to sleep with you, you had to or quit. It was your only option. That's what you had back in the good old days.
Thank you.
Oh, you know, one of the reasons why we live to like 83, 84 now is because we don't go and send our kids out to freeze them. And as a matter of fact, I should mention, check with your school district. We don't have a public and parochial closed today. We don't do that here.
No.
Because, well, would you trust us? I would not trust us. I wouldn't. Needless to say, there are a lot of great places out there. Keep an eye on the wind chill issues. My kid's school has closed for both Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'm going to guess that's going to be most of the schools in the state. I'm a little surprised they closed for tomorrow. Because even it's supposed to be like -5 or -6. That's still doable for a school day.
The wind chill's -44, though. It's insane tomorrow.
Extra crispy. I'll have a big bucket, please. Yes. It's going to be a little rough. As a matter of fact, going back to a little bit of the old morning grind days here. Yeah, the wind chill advisory kicks in tonight. -12, the high tomorrow. Boy, oh boy, grab the kids. -10, actually do grab the kids. They're about your best source of warmth at this point. You know, it's every person for themselves. Tuesday night, -30. That's your air temperature. Wednesday, a balmy -15. And then Wednesday night, -31. Thursday, it's going to be a scorcher at -3. So things start to turn around on Thursday here, and we're going to be in the 30s on the weekend. Do you see that? Yeah, it's going to be, let's see, Saturday, 38 on Saturday.
I didn't look that far in advance because I wasn't sure if I was going to survive.
Yeah, well, I've already marked your hair for use if I need it, okay? Shave you down, buddy. What's the coldest you've ever been in?
The coldest? I remember -50 to tailgate for a Vikings game.
Well, not, that'd be wind chill.
No, that was the wind chill, but it was one of the coldest days on record, I remember. Last day of the Metrodome. That's what game it was.
It was the last day? Okay. it was a cold day in Minnesota. I was up north when they broke that record, 24, 23 years ago? Up north, and I was in Bowabic on Esquagama. And the temperature we had on our porch was -47. That's the air temperature. The guy across the golf course had -51 on his. I think they hit like -68 or -70 and embarrassed. It was god awful. I have never felt anything like that in my life. And I can't describe it because it just hurts. It's not cold, it's hurting. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know, it goes beyond the, you know, the body's recognition of you know, warmth or cold. It just hurt. We got up that morning and the only car that started was the Jag. But as I told my brother-in-law who owned the thing, I said, well, for that price, it had better breakfast for you too. But we got the car started off that one. Eventually, we got everything, all the vehicles going. But at one point I had to take off my gloves because I had to take a block heater and plug it from one car and plug it into another car. And so I had to take my gloves to do that. My thumb was maybe exposed for maybe 90 seconds, 90 seconds maybe for 3 hours after that. My thumb just did not. I mean, it just was like, what in the world happened to you?
Yeah.
What happened to you, hand? You were with me the entire time. How did this happen? Yeah, that's not pleasant.
No, and tomorrow is the last day of the Winter Carnival treasure hunt, so I'm planning on going out in this to hunt, because this is what my dad does. This is what he plans all year, is for this hunt. So he's been out every day, and tomorrow's the last day where they reveal where it is, but it's the absolute worst day it could possibly be.
It's in the mayor's office. That's public property. We hid it inside this year. Have you made funeral plans? Can I ask that?
That's why I said I didn't look this weekend, because I'm not sure if I'm going to survive.
We're going to shave you after the show. I'm just going to be a preemptive measure. I don't want to have to go over to St. Paul and fight everyone else for your luxurious locks, okay? It's going to be nice. I will say, too, that it's the shame of this is this. As this gets really cold, the shame of it is... The reality is the reason why we have to close down schools is because there's a lot of crappy parents who aren't saying to themselves, well, you know, boss, I know that you need me to pack that box or file that report, but I got to be home with my kid, and you know, and standing up to your boss and saying, I got to go. And going and being there with your kid. I mean, that's the unfortunate element of it. That's what we're seeing here. I think with these schools closing is that there's just too many parents there. You get on the bus stop, you be fine. You be fine. I'm watching ESPN. And and that's how young kids get, you know, serious frostbite and sometimes even worse. So be careful. Know where you're going. I will mention, too, that there is quite a few accidents around the metro right now. There was a really bad one on the way here. 169 northbound at the crosstown, and things were backed up there. You got a few other accidents working as well. You know, so yeah, this is flashback to the old days, isn't it? Cross 494 eastbound at 212, got an accident working there. 212 at Prairie Center Drive. They went for distance on that road. They didn't just leave the road. They left, you know, every bit of the road behind. They're well down in that ditch. Downtown, we have a crash just clearing on 35W southbound at 11th. An accident working 94 eastbound at Huron Street, and you can see in some of these cameras, as you look around on these cameras, those roads are still pretty icy. Mm-hmm. You drive on these roads, you don't realize how actually ice covered they are, because you know vehicles have a lot of weight and you know, generally you don't slide around too much. But a lot of these roads are pretty slick still, so you want to be careful there. 61 northbound at Aetna, you got an accident working there, and also I should mention the one 694 westbound at 35W northbound. So be careful, and drive safe. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We should mention the Blue State Ball. It's to keep the warm thoughts of a hot, hot mat to keep you through going through the rest of these cold, cold days. It's March 2nd, the Blaisdell, Minneapolis, right?
Yep, it's going to be a blast.
We do we have any new announcements we can make yet today?
Paul Metza is going to be playing a set.
Metza, nice, solid. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Paul. As a matter of fact, we should mention, because not only are you and I going to be there, and Brett's going to be there, Doug Padgett's going to be there, Tom Hartman's coming in, and once again, fan favorite, Tom Hartman, he'll be in town. Ellie going to be there?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure. A lot of our weekend people are going to be there. If you enjoy our great weekend shows, including Paul Metza, they're going to be there. So come on by for that. VIP starts at 5:30, and then general admission doors open at 7. We have speakers starting at 7:30. We're going to have a lot of politicos coming on in as well. We can't announce this. I mean, obviously, a lot of stuff is still in the air. But we are hopeful that we're going to have a lot of the people that we've invited to come on by. So we'd love to see you out there. March 2nd at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. For tickets, you can go on over to am950radio.com, am950radio.com, and come and join us, as it is going to be a blast. And the Blaisdell is just a great place. God, they do a great job over there. Great location. Speaking of which, I should mention, Blaisdell, one block off of Nicollet Avenue, right? That's kind of, you know, Nicollet Avenue is one block over. And you know, if you go to the bottom of Eat Street, as you cross the railroad tracks, what will greet you on Nicollet Avenue across the railroad tracks after Eat Street?
What, the Kmart?
Yeah, that's right, the back of the Kmart. Because once again, in one of the truly astounding bits of development in this town, they decided years ago, back when they were trying to, and this is back when Lake Street was the equivalent of kind of the 494 strip back then. They wanted to bring in a big shopping store. They brought in a Kmart.
and they literally put it right in the heart of Nicollet Avenue. And so they blocked off Nicollet, and you had to go around. And one of the ways, if you go to the west, is to Blaisdell. And it goes down and around, and you have to go over to Lake, either to Lake Street over to 31st, and you kind of come around there. Well, there is a, you know, a new movement to basically, I don't know, have Nicollet go all the way through, you know, like it used to for many years. And for the most part, I think a lot of people are for that. But I want to give credit to a guy. And this guy got word. I should mention, I discovered this blog post via MinnPost today. Nick Magrino. Good writer. Actually, I thought I've read a few of his things. I thought he is actually a pretty decent writer. He makes an argument, should we actually get rid of the Kmart on Nicollet Avenue and reopen that road like it used to be back when the Millers used to have a baseball park down there years and years and years ago. And so, you know, back in the day, you know, like a normal road, like Lindale Avenue, you know, just punch it back through. And there's an interesting argument that is being made by Nick that maybe we shouldn't. And we're going to read from his blog. In general, the idea of a simple, uninterrupted street grid is good for a lot of reasons. It's resilient, lots of routes, easy to understand, and it looks nicer on a map. For me, some of the biggest oversights in planning in Minneapolis over the past decade have been situations where they've allowed large, parcels to get developed without reconnecting or making space for establishing the street grid. In this case, though, I ask if you could please close your eyes and imagine you're standing on the street corner, specifically, say, Nicollet and 26. It's June. It's nice, right? The sidewalks are good width. Two driving lanes on both sides. People are biking. Trees provide some nice canopy over much of the street. Not a lot of better streetscape experiences in Minneapolis than that. And he's exactly right. I mean, if you've been down to each street, and as a guy who remembers Nicollet, that was a bit of a rough street. And each street has been a godsend. And there has been Black Forest Inn was one of the first guys that went in down there. And now you've got a lot of great restaurants down there that it's became a destination street. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people that go on down there. And that's a good thing. Then, okay, now let's imagine you're on seven blocks to the west at Lindale and 26. Street roars. And, yeah, it's loud. And on Lindale, basically four lanes of traffic, you know, basically watch out for accidents. And the guy posts along with this a series of images from accidents on Lindale Avenue, which are pretty serious accidents. One car was flipped. There's, you know, some pretty substantial damage. And you want to know the truth is, I kind of see this guy's point. Nick, I see your point. I disagree with it under one auspice. I will get to that in a second. But he's right. And if we have gotten Eat Street as this fairly pedestrian-friendly street on the south side of Minneapolis, then if you open this up, you are going to have Johnny Turbo flying down, trying to shortcut and avoid 35W by going 60 miles an hour down Nicollet Avenue. And frankly, it's probably, especially since you've set up a kind of pedestrian-friendly experience in Eat Street area, which is really from, you know, Lake Street north up to, 24th, maybe 22nd, it's only a matter of time, I think, before you're going to end up having some serious, accidents, even fatalities of pedestrians getting hit by knuckleheads who are thinking it's Interstate 35, And the reality is, I get what he is saying, but there's one other thing about this. I mean, I understand your arguments about Lindale are correct, but I think part of the reason Lindale is so busy is because Nicollet is shut down. You know, when you get rid of Nicollet Avenue and you force the traffic to the east or west or park to Portland or over, to Lindale, that those roads become far busier because they don't have a Kmart in the middle. Seriously, what were you guys thinking? What were you thinking? Hey, you know what would be right good right here? How about a coffee shop right in the middle of the street? Really? I don't think that would work too well. But hey, I'm not thinking outside the box, am I? No, I think that you should take that down. But if I can give Nick credit for bringing this issue up, I think you need to create something on Nicollet north of where the Kmart is now that will slow down the traffic on that road and keep it somewhat pedestrian friendly if that does eventually get punched back through. Reverend Jack is in Minneapolis. He wanted to talk about the Kmart that's in the middle of Nicollet Avenue. Hey, Reverend Jack.
Hey, boss. Hey, thanks for having me. That's always irritated me as a Minneapolis native, you know, trying to cut through and that Kmart being there. I share your opinion on that. But my daughter, who's 26 years old, and she's been out there fighting the good fight as a low-income parent trying to make a living out there, she made an important point because I was like, they got to get rid of that Kmart. She said, well, it's fine if they open that road back up, but she said it's really important that they have a store like that for low-income people in the neighborhood, you know, because I'm not a huge Kmart fan myself, but I have that luxury, you know?
Yeah.
And there's really nothing else. You can go down a ways to Target, but, you know, if you're using public transportation, there's a lot of people that live right there that count on that store to be able to buy stuff, you know what I mean?
No, so, yeah. And Reverend Jack, wouldn't you agree with me, knowing how that is laid out? Because it's laid out like a 1960s big box store. It's a massive It's a massive parking lot. You could punch Nicollet through, and then designate, affordable shopping on both sides of that, on both sides of Nicollet at that point. And I think you'd have plenty of room. I think you're right. I mean, you have to have something that is economically feasible for the neighborhood. But at the same time, I think if you do punch that through, you do have plenty of space. I mean, take a look at most of the malls that you see nowadays. You notice how their parking lots are chewing them up with little independent individual stores in those parking lots. Nollwood Mall, they're doing that a lot.
Yeah.
Where they're basically taking, you know, Southdale, they're doing that a lot. It's every corner where the parking spots that only get used on the biggest holiday days, they're using those areas and they're getting rid of them and they're building little strip malls with three little stores there to maximize space.
Yeah, they are.
You can do that, I think, better today. Hold on, John. I'll get your call. John in Minneapolis wanted to chime in on this. Your call as well. And plus a lot of other politics stuff to get to today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul is one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the entire country. They offer a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts for personal and business tax needs. This year especially, changes to the tax code make it even more important for you to have someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Moe's has been in the business since 1971. Visit them at moestax.com. That's moestax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026.
We are given the gift of intuition on how to care for ourselves and our families, but too often we forsake that knowledge for the voice of authority. Green Tea Conversations is a radio show for people like you who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and who want to play a more active role in their family's well-being. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine, and I'm excited to bring Green Tea Conversations into your home. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts straight from the pages of Natural Awakenings who will share progressive ideas and the latest natural approaches in nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living in a fun and informative way. Podcasts of the show are available anytime at naturaltwincities.com, am950radio.com, on iTunes, or anywhere you get your podcasts. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversations on Sundays at 10 a.m. as we awaken to natural health.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. Hey, I've only got a few seconds, so here's the deal. Habitation is the coolest furniture store in town. Not only have we got some of the most exceptional furniture in the cities, but in many cases, Habitation can offer you store credit on your existing furniture. Stop in, talk to one of our designers, and let us help you make your home exceptional. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
AM 950 is Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Lisa commenting on the Facebook live stream here. Downtown Target is my preferred store. I haven't been to that Kmart in years. You know, yeah, I went there one time. That was like the last time I remember going there. And that's probably the only time I remember going there. And then I will also say that Matt commenting, as an outsider, the Kmart on Nicola has always annoyed me, but my wife points out that it Kmart on the staple the years in the community. Hunter brought up during the break there that, you know, with Sears going out, how much longer is Kmart going to be around anyway? And Big Lots is now gone. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, on one side, I completely understand. It's, you know, I think are we down to just really, you know, a Walmart or a Target going in down there? Target's got the store down over on Lake and Hiawatha, so I don't know if they're going to be looking necessarily to put one over on Lake and Nicollet. But, well, you know, obviously, if you want to develop it on that level, that's what you would want to do. 952-946-6205. Let's go to John in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on Kmart there as well. Welcome on in, John.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
All right, sir.
Yeah, I've lived in that area for years. We've been talking about trying to get that thing out of there for 25, 30 years. And I think they do need to get rid of it. I think they should open it up. But they need to make it seamlessly attached to the greenway, and they need to make it biker and pedestrian friendly and tighten it so it's not a big, fat traffic lane.
Well, and that's another big issue. You're right. And right now traffic goes around it on both sides. But I got to believe with Minneapolis-St. Paul that, you know, the concepts of the greenway, bike traffic, pedestrian friendly, those are all top-of-mind awareness stuff nowadays when it comes to developing, you know, streets through. And, I mean, probably, let's face it, it could end up being outside of Nicollet Mall itself, probably the nicest stretch of Nicollet when they get done with it, in the entire stretch of it, all the way down to, is it Burnsville it goes all the way down to? It goes ways, man. Nicollet goes far.
Yeah, it does.
952-946-6205. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Let's get Brad on in here. Welcome on in, Brad.
Okay, well, I want to change the subject a little bit and talk. First of all, you might have noticed that last week you did not see the coward in the White House signing that bill for reopening the government, but you did see Nancy Pelosi, and the only thing that would have made it more complete is that she would have held it up mimicking Donald. And I'm sure that most people are familiar with Donald Trump and his signing ceremonies where he holds the document up to a bunch of applauding sycophants with this goofy smile on his face like he has just completed his first successful toilet training.
Well, thanks, Brad. Always keeping it highbrow here with Brad Robbinsdale. Thanks, Brad. That actually was pretty good. I will say this. Did you know, considering how many times he's forgotten to sign bills at regular signing ceremonies, did he just, you know, was it like forgetting to pay your water bill? Oh my God, I forgot to sign the bill. The government open again. turn off the TNT. I was waiting for professional wrestling to come on. I gotta run the government. He's a worthless piece of trash, isn't he? He really is. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break a little early. Let's go to break right now. Come on back, because I got a lot of things I want to get to that involve actual politics in the state, including Tim Walz doing something we should have, or suggesting something we should have done a long time ago. I'll get to that in just a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Yumbo, Mildas. It is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. 1720 Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis. Pasty days. You know, if you're having to get through what is a pretty standard Minnesota experience, a.k.a., oh my God, is that cold? A pasty will help you out. Pasties are delicious. Pasties, I grew up on pasties, man, and those are, oh, I love them. Meat pies, man, they're delicious, and you can find them Monday, Wednesday, Friday for lunch over at Mildas. Also, great breakfast. Mildas Cafe, 1720 Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis, just east of Panity's, the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. From the Star Tribune, Governor Tim Walz is aiming to overhaul the way Minnesota funds its schools, putting more responsibility on the state and making local referendums either rare or extinct. Now, I want to first of all say bravo. This actually is something where we really are insulated in the metro area by a fairly liberal pro-education population. Well, not in the North Metro, but in most of the Metro. North Metro kind of gets a little cranky sometimes. Sometimes down the South Metro. But a lot of the metro area, I mean, go around and look at it. You know, anytime a school district asks for money in a lot of these, you know, suburban, you know, right-leading, you know, districts, they get it. I mean, go to Wayzata High School. Wayzata High School is bigger and probably has better facilities than Crown College does out at St. Bonnie's. You know, and the reason why is anytime they put a referendum out there, most people don't even bat an eye. Sure, okay, fine. You know, you're going to add $4 to my property taxes. I could care less. It's a great school. It's one of the reasons why people move into the Wayzata School District and into the Hopkins School District and into the Minnetonka School District. Because we actually value education, and if they come and they make a point, hey, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to get this, you know, fixed. Okay, fine. The problem is once you get out of the metro area, it is the polar freaking opposite. You can go on out to school districts. This was something we talked about over and over and over again with Democrats of the day, especially outstate Democrats, who are like, come on, we can't just be going back to referendum after referendum after referendum for a few different reasons. First of all, you have this far-right anti-referendum crowd who basically are the people that basically demand when they have a service they need, there aren't enough taxpayer dollars in the world to make sure that they get what they need. But if anyone else needs something, especially stuff that they might not even, they probably do need, but they don't even think about it because they're just so politically skewed and broken, they will rail and fight, "You're wasted my taxpayer dollars." And so referendums fail there. Even when you say, we'll have to shut down the school district. "I don't care, you liberals." And then all of a sudden that same person is like, "Wait a minute here. What do you mean my kid has to travel 25 miles to go to school every day?" It is a broken system in outstate Minnesota. Then the polar, let's go into the inner city. The inner city as well has got the cost of everything in a large metro area in the core city is ungodly. And so, yeah, they have to, the amount of money they're using on facilities and land and property, it is quite a bit more expensive than in other parts of the metro area. You know, the only people that seem to have a really good go of it right now under the current referendum system are the other suburbs, and predominantly the wealthy suburbs. You have to fix this problem. You've got school districts in outstate Minnesota where they're going to school in the same buildings from the 1920s and 30s. Don't look at me and tell me, "Oh, well, that's good enough." No, it's not. It's not. You have schools that don't have any internet in them. I mean, in this day and age, your kid is getting an extremely subpar education if they don't have basic internet capabilities in these schools. You know, you have teachers deserve to get paid. They do a tough job. They educate kids and set them on a path for life to make their own money. Damn right they deserve a good paycheck. So don't look at them and expect them to bear the brunt of you basically not wanting to pay for education. This is why I think what Governor Walz is suggesting is a really good idea. Taking this out of the hands of the local referendum people and putting it on the state so that funding is equal. That a school district doesn't get hammered on their finances because of a mandate that the state pushes down upon them that basically eats up a lot of their supplemental budget. The state has a duty, a responsibility to make sure that the education that you get in Thief River Falls is the same as you get in Grand Marais, is the same as you get in Duluth, is the same as you get in Minnetonka. And granted, I get it. We're not going to be able to have the wide cornucopia of classes and opportunities in Minnetonka in these smaller districts. But at least we can have a safe school with that's not falling apart with paid teachers and the basic technology to do schoolwork. I mean, that should not be hard. But the reality is because of these far-right anti-referendum loon balls, you basically end up having school districts who shut down because they just cannot afford to stay open. And it's not their fault. They're not wasting my taxpayer dollars. They chose to close down instead of firing a few of the teachers. Now, really? Is that where you're at? If they get to a point where they're having to shut down because they can't afford to get rid of any teacher, that should tell you that they need more teachers. Or at least they should be trying to keep the teachers that they have. I agree wholeheartedly. As he finalizes his first budget, the DFL governor says he's focused on reversing what he's seen as a disturbing trend of leveling off of state support for education that's putting more pressure on local funding and widening gaps between wealthy and poor and between metro and outstate schools. Absolutely. John is in Minneapolis. He's been holding. Welcome on in, John. You wanted to chime in on this?
Yes, sir. Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Great subject matter. And I'm glad Walz is doing what he's doing. I substitute teach in North Central Minnesota. I live in South Minneapolis, but I have a place up in North Central.
What school district are you in up there?
Aiken School District.
All right.
And they've gone through this in the Aiken School District where they put a proposal out for referendum. A lot of people in the Aiken area are retired. They don't want to pay any money, any more taxes. My kid's not going to school. They've got that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And so referendums have failed. Well, I teach in this school, and I got to tell you, my buddy graduated there in 1970. There isn't hardly any difference between what that school was like then as it is now. They made a foolish mistake of buying property based on their thought that the school would be, referendum would go through and they'd be able to build a new school. They spent $700,000 on property up there that they're sitting on right now. And, nobody, they can't build on it. They don't have any money. Mm. They don't have any money to take care of the school. The roof leaks. There's asbestos. It's sad. It's just sad.
And it's once again, it's the same people. And John, I'm going to let you go because if you're driving, and guys, one of the earlier colleges too, we're driving around. If you're driving, be careful out there. Drive safe, okay? Thank you for the call. And thank you for that because that's exactly the point. There are a lot of elderly people up there that are retired who basically, even though they're desperate to get healthcare professionals to come move up there and help them out with their day-to-day lifestyle and their needs up there, and plus the fact they're wondering, why did that plant close? Why can't we get any jobs up here? They're the ones who they themselves are nipping this at the bud and not getting a good quality education system so that the good worker, that the good product can come out of that school and then help them. The local kid who then goes on off to either a college or a technical college to get a medical degree and then goes back and helps with hospice care and helps out with senior care needs in the northern part of the state. Why can't we get anyone here? Well, did you vote no on all the last school referendums, you idiot? Yeah, you did? Well, that's why. Because even if you do have people who are willing to move there, if you've got a crap school that's got the leaking ceiling and asbestos and they haven't it hasn't been updated since the day when Flock of Seagulls were a big hit, well, guess what? They're not going to want to go to school there. So you've double whammied yourself by making your district even less appealing because your school system sucks. I like what Tim Walz is doing there, but the reality, let's make sure we say it. For a lot of outstate areas, this is saving them from themselves because they just cannot see the forest for the trees. And no, I've talked to Tim Walz about this before. We had him on this air a few years ago. We talked about this. And he's like, no, I do not expect the wealthy metro area suburb schools to pay for these outstate schools. But what he said back then is the way you do that is you basically, you know, collect money on a statewide level and then disperse it on a statewide level. Ta-da! There you go. And I don't think he's saying that referendums can't happen. If a school district wants to have one, they feel they can pass it. I imagine they still can do that. It just is, we're just saying that referendums can't be the where-all, end-all of this whole process. And once again, it goes for the inner city schools, too. They have financial issues, and they don't want to have referendum after referendum after referendum coming out there. But it really is, in outstate districts, when you close down a school district, all of a sudden you're 25 miles. Oh, wait, Billy's got to go to school 25 miles away from here? He's going to be on a bus for an hour each day? Each day. When I have to go to a band concert, we have to leave 30 minutes early just to get him there? And then all of a sudden, the same people who are saying, no, not going to give you any money for your school, are saying there, isn't it a shame they don't have any band concerts over the high school anymore? I sure love those. Yeah, you had the opportunity, fool. You got rid of them. Republicans get mad because they feel as if Democrats are just trying to basically go on out there and give gifts. The reality is that sometimes we've got to step on in there to save the damn Republicans from themselves because they don't see the forest for the trees. And because they believe the bumper sticker slogans as opposed to what their own eyes are seeing, we've got to save these fools and slap them awake like that passenger on the movie Airplane, for God's sakes. 952-946-6205. I will also, I want to mention this, and I want to criticize MinnPost. MinnPost, I love you. I really do. I think you're one of the best things about media in this state. But can you not feel as if a story has to go through with the, now that the Democrats are in the side, both sides do it. It's both sides. I'm tired of the both sides crap. I'm tired of they're both wrong or they're both right. No, most of the time it's not. And what I have discovered a lot of times is to make that argument, you have to really go out of your way to vilify the Democrats while increasing the importance of the Republicans. And that's not your job. That is not your job if you're in media, is to make an argument for the Republicans. That is not your job. Set of proposed rules for how Minnesota House of Representatives should run has produced starkly different interpretations depending partially on which party is talking about them. According to the DFLers, who now make up the majority in the House, the newish method of managing the flow of budget-related bills is more efficient, a way for legislators to spend less time in the House floor and more time in committees where the heavy lifting of legislature is really done. But for House Republicans, both the 55-member Republican caucus and the 4-member New Republican caucus, those same rules institute an anti-transparency move that puts democracy at risk. Okay, I'm just going to stop right there. You're actually allowing the Republican Party of Minnesota to put forward an argument about being pro-transparency. The Minnesota Republican Party. The same ones who controlled the House the last few legislative sessions. The ones who put a mute button into the House Speaker's chair. Those Republicans, those transparent Republicans, those Republicans who would walk into a room and produce a bill which 90% of it had never seen the light of day before, put together by Kurt Dowd, Joyce Pepin, and a handful of lobbyists. Those bills, those transparency, were the ones that they would run out on the House floor and the 400, 700, 1,000-page bills they'd chuck at the Democrats and say, you got 20 minutes and we're voting. The same Republican Party who was trying to do this the entire time just to try to trick Governor Dayton into missing something. By taking a dumpster of legislation and pouring it on the governor's mansion and hoping that he missed one or two things, that they would able to get what they wanted passed without any public input, without any public committee hearings. All of this done in the dark of the night, in closed rooms, with a handful of people and a Republican Party who we know was told, you do not have any say. You only vote the way that Kurt Dowd tells you to vote. Transparency. And you, MinnPost, are allowing them to put forward any argument about transparency? Your first response should be, sure, you guys. Omnibus Prime. That's transparency. How about the, remember the will internet companies be able to sell your search history bill? Almost everyone in the House, almost everyone in the Senate was in agreement to it. And then all of a sudden it went into committee bill. And was it Osmek? Senator Osmek that ripped that out on his own?
I'm not sure.
I think it was Osmek. I thought it was. I could be wrong on that. One guy goes in a bill and basically, we're in a committee, closed doors, yink, gone. How about Southwest Light Rail? Hey, I guarantee you guys, this is K-Dog speaking here. Yo, 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 K-Dog, man. K-Dog speaking. Promise you, Southwest Light Rail line will be in the his house. That was atrocious. That was an atrocious. Wow, what in the hell? Eee. But that was K-Dog. That was Kurt Dowd. And what did he do? He threw the bill at them and said, vote now! And even the House reps couldn't find it. It was up to Senator Ron Latz, who basically was given a chunk of the bill before it got up there to say, wait a minute here, Southwest Light Rail is not even in here. That kind of transparency. MinnPost, I love you. I really do. I do love you. And by the way, I highly do encourage everyone to go out and subscribe to MinnPost. It is very good. But come on. to even allow your entire story to exist, you have to ignore the last 6 years of, or 4 years of Republican leadership in the Minnesota House. The most anti-transparent group of people you've ever seen. Them having the audacity to talk about transparency is a laugh. That is an absolute laugh. Please. I'll post the mute button picture again for you, just in case you've forgotten. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. When I come back, hey, TCF does not, what's going to be the new name of the place now? It's Chemical. Chemical. Not TCF, it's Chemical. Or is it TCF? I'm not sure. We'll talk when I come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hey, it's Brett from our new 4 p.m. show, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, and I'd like to invite you to another repartee of sort. It's the 2019 Blue State Ball. This will actually be the fourth Blue State Ball I've attended, and I'm really looking forward to this year's. Why? Well, because after living through some tough times of the Donald Trump election and a Republican Congress, we finally turned the tide last November with the Blue Wave. So come celebrate all your hard work last year of door knocking and getting out the vote at the Blue State Ball on Saturday, March 2nd at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. I'll be there along with my Minnesota Progressive Repartee co-hosts Doug Padgett and Hunter Haas. Matt McNeil, Ellie Krug, and Robert Pilot will be there. And so will our headliner, Tom Hartman. Plus, we're sure to add many more speakers and politicians in the coming weeks. As always, attire is blue jeans to ball gowns. So let's party at the Blue State Ball on Saturday, March 2nd at the Blaisdell and celebrate that blue wave. Tickets available now at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I have to say this next line?
Do you want to sleep inside tonight?
My dad is beloved, world-famous radio broadcaster Matt McNeil.
Perfect!
Anyway, my mom and dad want me safe when I'm driving in winter weather. That's why the vehicle they trust is the Toyota Sienna, and the dealership they trust is Rudy Luther Toyota. They keep me safe.
With my son driving this winter, I trust Rudy Luther, and you can too. Stop in today and become a Rudy Luther Toyota family. The southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Come on, only a fool would look at having a bunch of committee meetings in public about bills and issues would be less transparent. Yeah. And would give any, and you have to, you really have to ignore 4 years of Republican, you know, basically backroom dealings in the middle of the night. And they were even defending that, what was it, about 2 months ago, and they're like, sometimes the best things happen at 3 in the morning. No, they don't! I've been out at 3 in the morning. I can't remember. It's like, you know what? Let's go build a community garden. No, you know, no one does that. It's like, let's go call my ex-girlfriend, man. That's 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, I don't really understand their argument at all. I don't get it.
Honey, outside, it's 4 in the morning. I think they're out building a community garden. It's delightful, but it's a little odd to be doing that at 3 in the morning, isn't it? Yes, it is. And especially when you're doing the people's work. You know, like I said, when you close doors, when you have mute buttons, when you're doing things at 3 in the morning, you're supposed to be doing the people's work. You're trying your hardest to make sure the people don't see what you're doing. So please do not – you. The Republican Party of Minnesota has no right to be able to claim they have transparency, and shame on all Minnesota media that gives them a pass on 4 years of inexcusable actions that prove that they have zero transparency to their governmental process. TCF Financial, third largest bank in Minnesota, said Monday will combine with Chemical Financial Corp. a similarly sized Detroit bank that will now take the TCF name. Chemical, and by the way, good call. I mean, if your choice is Chemical Bank or TCF, you know, what are you, a vaping clinic? I mean, the Chemical Bank, yes. They're buying out TCF shareholders, but the companies build the deal as a merger of equals. No, that's called you bought out all the shareholders. That's not a merger.
So is this, they're changing the name to this?
No, they're not going to be Chemical. Like I said, Chemical Financial does sound way too much like a vaping store. But no, they're going to be all TCF. They're changing all the Detroit ones. But they're moving the headquarters to Detroit.
I have TCF, so I was concerned.
All righty. Well, then you don't want to listen to my next rant. Okay? Hold on a second here. Brace yourself. Buckle up, Hunter. They're going to be based in Detroit, led by a board consisting of 8 people from Chemical and 8 people from TCF, said a top executive from each. TCF, which is based in Wayzata and has its main operations center in Plymouth, is a slightly larger company and will contribute $24 billion to the $45 billion in combined assets. The TCF shareholders will represent about 45% of the combined branches in 9 states. Here's the question I have is, all right, you're moving all the corporate headquarters out to Detroit, right? Did we give this company any tax breaks or any tax incentives to have their headquarters and their base of operations here in Minnesota? And if so, did we get a return on investment on that? I mean, it's only, I don't know, a fair question to ask. God forbid, I know. We just like to just give big corporations and millionaires and billionaires tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of taxpayer money. But heaven forbid we actually ask the question, did we get a return on that investment? Now, I know corporate guy will say, we hired people. Yeah, idiot, you're a corporation. You had to. Did you pay them more? No. Did you specifically start opening up new branches because you got a tax rebate? No, you didn't? Oh, okay. I don't know. I mean, we can't say for sure. But you know, the standard corporate response is, you must bow down and worship our benevolence for existing. How dare you question a tax break that came our way? Damn right I am. And you know why? You know why? I am getting damn tired of Republicans who always say there's always money for a tax handout to the wealthiest people of this country. But God forbid, a hungry kid needs some food, or a sick person needs some medical care, or a homeless man needs to get inside for a night. God forbid. Because then all of a sudden, well, we don't have any money. Well, you have money to give to the guy with 6 yachts. What do you mean you don't have any money? And so we should ask the question, did TCF, while they are based here, get any massive tax incentives to keep their base of operations and their corporate headquarters in Minnesota? And if they did, what was the rate of return? God forbid, a basic business question we are asking at the expense of the Minnesota taxpayers who funded any potential tax breaks that were given to that company. Because most of the time, it goes to corporate executives, it goes to bonuses, and it goes to 401ks so that great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids can sit on a beach in Acapulco and drink Cristal in 50, 60 years. I'm tired of this crap. Did we get a rate of return on this? That's a decent question. Bundle up the next few days. We will be back here, we hope, tomorrow. Until then, see ya.